Hari Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 8. Verses 22 to 44. Arjuna returns and Yudhishthira questions him about the welfare of the Yadus. Sutta Goswami continued, as Yudhishthira considered the many portents of doom around him, Arjuna returned. Maharaj Yudhishthira saw that his face was pale and marked with unprecedented dejection. Indeed, Arjuna's head hung low and tears glided down from his lotus eyes. Remembering Narada's prediction, Yudhishthira questioned his younger brother, please tell me whether our friends and relatives of the Madhu, Bhoja, Dasarha, Arha, Satvata, Andaka, and Yadu dynasties are all passing their days in happiness. Is my grandfather, Sudhasena? Okay. Sudhasena was Vasudev's and Kunti's father. He had 9 other sons and 3 other daughters. Kunti was later adopted by Kunti Bhoja. My uncle Vasudev, Balaram, the personality of Godhead, Pridika, and then his sons Kritavarma, Kamsa's father Ugrasena, and Krishna's sons, headed by Prajumna, Shushena, Charudeshna, Samba, and Rishabha, faring well. 22 to 31. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to verse 29. Amongst various names of the relatives, the name of Rama or Balaram, the eldest brother of Lord Krishna, is added with the words, the personality of Godhead. Because Lord Balaram is the immediate expansion of Vishnu Tattva as Prakash Vigraha of Lord Krishna. The Supreme Lord, though one without a second, expands himself as many other living beings. The Vishnu Tattva living beings are expansions of the Supreme Lord, and all of them are qualitatively and quantitatively equal with the Lord. But expansions of the Jiva Shakti, the category of the ordinary living beings, are not at all equal with the Lord. One who considers the Jiva Shakti and Vishnu Tattva to be on an equal level is considered a contemned soul of the world. So we'll get into, as this goes, is that here we see, because of Narada's prediction, which Narada said very, very subtly, he didn't say that they were going, he just mentions that the Lord has come to do his pastimes, and that those pastimes, he's finished his work. So now we see is that when he's asking way beyond what he generally would ask. Normally he'll just say, how are the Yadus doing? Or how are the residents of Dwarka doing? Or, you know what I'm saying, or Krishna and his family and friends. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just standard, because you expect everything to be normal. But here we see he's going through every dynasty. He's specifically targeting every person. We never hear him asking about, you know, Kritavarma. We just don't hear of it. Right? It's not that he doesn't, but I'm saying the point is because one knows that there's more. Right? So that's the whole thing, is he's trying to avoid that. Right here.
But how can he avoid that by asking all those questions?
It's a matter of taste. You know what I'm saying? It's that there's the hope that everything is regular, fine. And so then you go through, by asking all those things, then you have more, how you say it, exposure to that taste of thinking favorably. Does that make sense? Yes. So it's a matter of the emotional element. It's not a matter of logic. You know, because when you're dealing with emotions, it has its own logic, its own path. So it's not about the... In other words, there's the discussion of the situation that has to be logical. If it's not, it's foolish. Right? It means if you're discussing the situation, you're discussing how that situation works. Right? Or let's say the situation relationship to application of the situation in it to accomplish a physical transformation. Right? That has to be logical, because otherwise if you don't connect the action and the elements of the action, you won't get the result of action that you're looking for. Does that make sense? That has to be logical. It's purely an intellectual element. Means your involvement to be with it, of course, will be the emotional, but the consideration of its functioning is purely logical. Right? But when you're dealing with gaining the emotions from it, then it's not about the logic of the situation, it's about the natural movement of the emotion. Does that make sense? From one situation to another. So here is now, if Arjuna had been coming back, he's smiling, he's his regular self, so glad to be back, he would not have asked any of these. But because Arjuna, he can't be defeated. There's no one in the universe other than Vishnu who can defeat him, because he is Nara of Narayan Rishi. You know, when the demigods cannot defeat the person, they call them. Indra and his host of demigods could not defeat the something covetous.
Navata covetous.
And then there was someone else thrown in on the side, just as, you know, how you say, you know, like you have some achar or something. You know, we went for that. He did it alone. Like that. So that means there's no one in the universe who can defeat him. Now why would he look dejected? So that's a Yudhishthira's point, is there can only be one reason. And naturally, he doesn't want to discuss that reason. Right? So therefore, he's going to come up with all these other, how you say, expanded elements of pleasantries. Does that make sense? So here you have to see, because Bhagavatam, even though this is the opening, the whole thing is about rasa. But the point is that you have to be able to distinguish between what is material and what's spiritual. That's the first thing. So therefore, we will see in these first nine cantos that this distinction is very always brought out. At the same time, as it's easier to make this distinction when you're dealing with majesty, right? Greatness. Because then you have the element of you're dealing with God. And because you're dealing with God, therefore, it keeps us a little sober about our position in that. Like you see here in the purport, Prabhupada's immediately going into the position of the jiva. Right? So we have nine cantos to get this basically unlimited lifetimes of conditioning to I'm the controller and enjoyer, and it's about ourself to it's about Krishna. Right? Even though this is right in the beginning, but the element, because rasa is rasa, it's not a different entity. There's only one. It's just a matter of what aspects you're going to get. So the first thing that's done is the sensual and the material, emotional, are just dropped. So there's only spiritual. In spiritual, naturally, a for rasa to be tasted, there's the mind. The mind is gaining its information through the senses, expressing through the senses. So the problem is not that you're dealing with emotions or the senses. The problem is that the mundane element. So that fineness of what's the difference between what's mundane and what's spiritual that is brought out. Does that make sense? So the Vaikuntha rasa, it already includes the emotions and senses. But in the material world, you can have the emotional, generally senses will be included because it's the lower. But you can have the sensual and emotional and spiritual is not included. So the lower interpretation of rasa doesn't include the higher. But rasa doesn't change. It's not that it's different rasa. So then within this, then that the first stage is just Krishna's God. But then it goes into the intimacy. But now intimacy, there's much more, the difference between something is much more fine. You know, therefore the examples are given, though, and the examples are given by those who are in the taste of majesty. And they're talking about the intimacy of the residents of Vrindavan, you know, or Mathura. You know, where there's that difference is less. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, the person who is maintaining the universe, then he is sucking the breast of Mother Jashoda, right? Child sucks the breast of the mother for nourishment, right? So Krishna, he's the one who's nourishing the devotees, but at the same time, he's playing this pastime of gaining his nourishment from Mother Jashoda. That's why it's always mentioned, this one. I mean, what we would think, well, why is that there? Is that at this point, we've already introduced, as Bhujan Prabhu points out, that potion is the first thing that basically has to get introduced. I mean, we understand, okay, Krishna's God and we're not. But as soon as that's introduced, then the first thing that's going to come up is our sense of security. Because I have been trying to take care of myself since time immemorial. So if I don't do it, who's going to do it? Right? So therefore, then Krishna is going to do it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, Krishna going to do it, then we see that these elements of how he's doing that, but it's through the pastimes. That's the actual thing we're looking for. Because we're doing things here. When we say we're protecting ourselves or creating security, security is only the environment. It's not actually the interaction. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. If I say I'm secure, it means I have facilities for rasa. It doesn't mean that I'm gaining that rasa. I only have the facilities. I have money, I have a home, there's a family, I have a position, you know, there's authority, there's stableness. These are only defining the environment. They're not in actually talking about the interactions being tasted. So that's why in the modern, this idea is that you must have the environment nice, and then everything's perfect, but people are still insecure. Even the most nicely situated person in the modern society doesn't have that sense of security. Because at any moment, it's not based on natural relationships, it's based on my control of a particular, combination of situations in which my conditioning gets the facilities that it considers are going to be the basis of my taste or happiness. Does that make sense? But they're always moving, they're always changing. Otherwise, what's the need of constantly doing it? You know what I'm saying? So then the living entity, yeah. So the Veda is pointing out that the security actually is in relationship that is dynamic, that's active. So we're talking sambandha, so it's relationship with the Lord, But it's about the attitudes and interactions. Because now if I'm going to deal with the situation, then the first thing I'm going to do is based on some scars in my identity, is how I'm going to perceive and apply the situation I'm in. So then we see here is that the background being pious in connection with Krishna, and the identity being that I'm servant of Krishna, then we see this process of nourishment goes on properly. Because otherwise, when we have I'm the controller and enjoyer, and our background is various ways we've tried to enjoy, you know, and naturally, I mean, when we're, you know, the younger you are, the more idyllic there is, and the older you get, the more realistic and skeptical one gets, right, in the application. But the principle underlying is still the soul expects that because that's how they view the world. Right? They view it from eternity, knowledge, and bliss, even though it's covered by the modes, and so it doesn't come out so well. I was saying the soul still, the people are the way they are because they are soul. You know what I'm saying? So here is then. Yudhishthir is bringing these elements out because of the taste of the, because it's that dynamic element of we're servants of the Lord, we're taking part in that interaction with the Lord, so then it basically requires the Lord to be around. Otherwise it goes into a different flavor. You know what I'm saying? The element of separation is a very different flavor. Though very viable on the transcendental platform. On the material platform, it leaves a lot to be desired. But on the spiritual platform, it's a very different flavor. So they've been functioning at this one flavor, and so now they're switching to the other flavor. Does that make sense?
One of the elements was that time started going backwards. So like you said, it's a big shift in it.
But the omens aren't actually the situation. The omens are simply telling what's going to happen in the situation. So the time goes backwards, or you know, all these different things. It's not that those are actually what's controlling it. You know, it's just like, let's say you go into the train station. And on the board, you know, then all the different things come up of what trains and what platform. Those are omens of what's going to happen. But it's not that that board controls the trains. You understand? That's the whole thing. So the omens aren't actually... Sometimes we deal with it. Oh, I saw this omen, so counteract it with this omen. It's not that an omen creates it. An omen is simply a sign letting you know what's actually unfolding. That's, but it's not that it's going to change because of some little element. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, you know, if you go out and you see this one sign that it's not going to work out so good, that by going back into the house and starting again, you change it. It's a matter of you either go through with it and, you know, you endeavor in your service, or you go back and start at a different time when it will be better. You know what I'm saying? Whatever's favorable. Like, if you have plenty of time, there's nothing else to do, you carry on. If there's other things you could do and a better time would be later, then do those. The point is results for Krishna. You want it to be efficient. But it's not about the omens. It's not about the astrology. These are just things to show that Kali Yuga has progressed, but it was already Kali Yuga. When the war ended, Kali Yuga started. So, but you didn't see the symptoms. Why are the symptoms here now? And there's only one reason, right? There's only, means, basically you could say it's the opposite. There's only one reason that the omens of Kali Yuga didn't manifest. That's just Krishna was personally present. So if he's not personally present, then Kali Yuga goes on in its natural way. So now he's seeing that natural form. It's not that it's suddenly getting worse. No, this is just what it's normally would be. You understand?
Yeah.
like that. You know, it's just like in the winter. The sun's out, you know, you're out in an open area, it's very pleasant and warm. But winter means cold, so if you go to a place where the sun's not, it's cold. So it's not strange, oh, you go inside, it's so cold. No, it's pleasant that you're out in the sun. Is that okay? Yes.
This being an emotional questioning, why is it that Yudhisthira is asking about the family before he asks about Arjuna's welfare?
Because it's less direct. You know, it's just like you bump into somebody that you don't know what to do, so it's very easy to talk about the weather. So the farther away it is, the easier it is to discuss, and then he'll slowly bring it back. Because when he does bring it to Arjuna, then it goes, it's a rhetorical question. He already knows the answer. Because, see, so when you're talking to somebody, there's response. So he would have said all these things, he would have gotten response. He would have changed, but he's not getting a response. Right? So it just naturally follows its own course. Okay. So now, one who considers the Jiva Shagna Vishnu beyond the equal level. So Krishna's expanding all these personalities. The point is he is everything. So that means he has unlimited moods and all that. So as we saw before, is that his expansion of the Vishnu Tattva, it's not a separate, it's a separate entity, but at the same time it's not. Separate entity means it is Krishna in this particular mood consistently. Does that make sense? Like, for ourselves, we will be in a variety of moods and variety of situations. And therefore, we taste all these different things for a certain amount of time, and then by the time factor, it changes. Even though we'd like to go on tasting one particular mood, we can't. Time changes that. But for Krishna, then he can go on tasting that particular mood eternally. Because he'll create the situation, the devotees, the particular pastimes, in which only that taste or that specific taste or combination is what he's tasting. Does that make sense? So, therefore, all these different personalities are different entities, meaning they're him in these different moods. And because he's taken on that mood, he can therefore even interact with himself. Because he's in one mood and he can interact. You know, it's just like little kids are there. Right, and they get all their toys out, you know, and this one's like that. You know, they do all these different things. But Krishna can actually expand and do that. You know, I mean, you know, how fun is that, right? You can just expand yourself and have this whole party going on, right? You know. You don't even have to, you know, call your mommy. You can do it all yourself.
Easy to be Atmarama.
Huh?
Easy to be Atmarama.
Yes, yes. So it seems, but the point is rasa. Right? So as Vishnu Tattva he expands, right? The Shakti Tattva will never be Vishnu Tattva. And of the Shakti, the Jiva is never going to be Shakti, is not going to be the Shakti Tattva. Right? We're the smallest. So that's why it's always pointed out, because there is a non-difference between him and his energy. And so the Sarup Shakti and him are non-different, and that whatever it is he wants to do, the Shakti is taken care of. So they're non-different. But the Jiva is very small, so they can take part in this. Right? They can relate to this. They can add to this. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you sit down to a meal, right? And so we can add things to the meal. You have the meal. You can add by the certain arrangements you make of the plates and cups, or how you put them, or how many, or, you know, you have some extra achar, some salt and pepper, or you add to that by putting it on its own plate. You know, you have a glass, and okay, then you drink your water in it, you drink your juice in it, you know, you drink it all, you put your sweet rice in it. But you could have three glasses. You understand? You can expand this, it just adds. But it's the meal that's the real thing. Does that make sense? So jivas are these added things. We're not the meal. You know, the meal is Krishna and the internal potency. We add to that. You know, science. So, but Krishna being who he is, right? Because be intelligent means you're grateful. You notice, you appreciate. Like the other day, it was very interesting because we met Kavi Chandra Maharaj. And so, generally, my perception of Kavi Chandra Maharaj is, you know, it's very rigid, very, austere, very strict. You know, these kind of things that are more, you know, your really like sadhu kind of elements, and just like this. But then we were there, and then somebody gave me, and they gave a small garland, very small, very thin garland, you know, not that big. But it, you know, was done with little flowers and different colors and all that. And they put it on him. And the first thing he notices, like, wow, what nice work. You know, how fine work the devotees put in the effort to make this so nice. You know, it's just simple. Some purple flowers, some white flowers, and I think they threw in one other thing that created such a variety, even though they had very little to work with. But that was the first thing he noticed. It's not like this and that went on. That was the first thing he noticed. And I was like, wow, this is impressive. You know, it's just like, you know, that. So Krishna being the supreme, he notices. So it's not that we being 1,000th the tip of the hair, he doesn't notice. Right? That's the whole point, is the connoisseur notices all the little fine points of the meal. You know what I'm saying? The Cretan we wouldn't want to use because Crete's still there, so we say Philistine, right? Because there aren't really many Philistines around, okay? Yeah, it means you won't notice these things, you know? That's the example given in the Shastra is a bull. A bull seems to have no ability to tell differences in tastes like that. Cows, yes, but bulls, no. Right, so just they eat everything and it's fine. It doesn't really matter, you know. Okay. So Krishna will notice. So this idea that the jiva and the Lord are the same, in, you know, like that on an equal level, that's wrong. In rasa, yes, but that's because of Krishna's appreciation and exchange. He exchanges. Right? Just like the adult and the child are on an equal level, but the adult interacts with the child on a level that the child can therefore, you know, deal with. You know, and then that becomes very valuable rasa. Does that make sense? Yeah. When it considers that the jiva shakti and the Vishnu tattva to be on an equal level, it's considered a condemned soul of the world. Sri Rama or Balaram is the protector of the devotees of the Lord. Balaram acts as the spiritual master of all devotees, and by his causeless mercy, the fallen souls are delivered. Sri Baladeva appeared as Sri Nityananda Prabhu during the advent of Lord Chaitanya, and the great Lord Nityananda Prabhu exhibited his causeless mercy by delivering a pair of extremely fallen souls, namely Jagai and Madai. Therefore, it is particularly mentioned herein that Balaram is the protector of the devotees of the Lord. By his divine grace only one can approach the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, and thus Sri Balaram is the mercy incarnation of the Lord, manifested as the spiritual master, the savior of the pure devotees. So here's Prabhupada's pointing out this other point of that he's starting with all these others because that's the approach to Krishna. So you can gain Krishna's mercy through the spiritual master, through Nityananda Prabhu. So, therefore, by recognizing Balaram like that, then that's there. You know, and then there's the Lord and his associates. He comes to be with his associates, to perform his pastimes with his associates. So if the associates are fine, that means everything's fine. Is that right? Yes.
So the P is then the rasa could be tasted only when we have all the preliminaries. Otherwise, you know, jumping into the tank
hands cancel like right away, unprepared for anything. We can't even taste it because the taste isn't there.
Very minimal. We'll get something. See, the point, I mean, yes, means if you just jump in, you're not. As devotees, then Prabhupada's given it, like Krishna book and that, he writes in the important elements of the other nine cantos into it in such a way that it just reads as one story, so we don't get that feeling that it's, you know, like a commentary, you know, so it doesn't have that element. It's just nicely, it becomes part of the story. But otherwise, then, no, people don't, like Bhagavad Saptas and that means there's some taste of rasa, but it's not spiritual. Otherwise, why are they only dealing with the gopis and all that? Because we can see as so much rasa comes out, like Bhishma Dev lying on the bed of arrows, and, you know, and he's talking about the gopis or the, like this. But why this is so, no. Because we're talking here is even if we get something, is, you know, as devotees when practicing, even we'll get something, but compared to what you can get, therefore the need of the preparation. Because we're talking about the position of Yudhishthira as unrivaled emperor of the world. As we mentioned, the Taittiriya Upanishad uses that as an example of one unit of material happiness that you can get here in this world. Then everybody, it goes up 100 from that, 100 from that, 100 from that. So then from up there up into it goes up to, I think, all the yakshas, rakshasas, all that kind of group, then 100 above that, the lower Gandharvas and the higher Gandharvas, then the residents of the heavenly planets, then the authorities of the heavenly planets, then Indra himself, then the Karmendriyas, means the ones who manage the universe, then the Dikpals, then Indra, then Brihaspati, then the Prajapatis, then Brahma. And then, so, you're talking about tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of times here. And even millions, actually. You know, so, like this. Then that's compared to just a drop compared to the ocean of liberation. And then that's reduced down to a fraction of a portion of a drop of an unlimited ocean. So that's what's being offered. You should read 10th canto and get that. So if we're not getting that, then that means there's more to go. But because it's been introduced to us by Prabhupada and the Acharyas in the Association of Devotees, we are getting something. So whatever we're tasting is real and spiritual, but how much you could taste is more. So that's the point, is that since we're dealing with rasiks, they're practical in rasa, so therefore they're giving us this process of rasa in a practical fashion, which we can actually taste what is available. Like that. But first, think, because the point is rasa, being rasa, it's appreciated by the devotees. That's why it's pointed out, why the sahajas, oh, I can only hear about the gopis. No, that's not, it doesn't work like that. That's strange. That means you can only taste it in this one, you know, it's just like the little kid. He'll only eat his cereal if he has his favorite, you know, purple bowl and Mickey Mouse spoon. Otherwise, he won't eat it. Now, what do we call that?
Childish.
Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that, no, it's about what you're tasting. The environment it's in is different. Therefore, the gopis are referring to pastimes that are outside of Vrindavan. And they're talking about references outside Vrindavan. Right. So they talk, because they see rasa there. Now the point is that rasa is with, that they're tasting is Krishna. But he's expanded as all these other aspects. These are aspects of it. Like that. Okay. So here's that, yes, then just through the spiritual master and that, then we can appreciate, and we can approach. So the spiritual master, the mercy of Balaram here and the devotees. That's the whole thing. So he's starting there. So we're looking at it. One's the social element, because we see up to now when they're dealing with this aspect, everyone up to now has only dealt with it on the social platform. Vidura dealt with it socially. Narad Muni deals with it socially. Yudhishthira is not dealing socially. But we see underlying is this whole philosophical element of approaching the Lord through the devotees and all that. So the tattva is in place. But then the problem is they're all avoiding this rasa separation. Because that's another way of dealing with an adjustment in rasa is dealing with tattva. Like that. And it's just like, what's his name? Hiranyakashipu. You know, when his brother is killed, then it throws the whole house out of the natural flavor. So he uses Vedanta philosophy to put it back into its normal position. So it's also another approach, standard approach. So instead of someone else doing this for him, he's doing it for himself. So that social, that philosophical, anything but, Next, Maharaj Yudhisthira asked about the eternal associates of the Lord, such as Shrutadeva and Uddhava. Also, Shrutadeva, Uddhava, and others, Nanda, Sunanda, and other leaders of liberated souls, who are constant companions of the Lord, are protected by Lord Balaram and Krishna. Are they all doing well in their respective functions? Do they, who are all eternally bound in friendship with us, remember our welfare? In his purports to verses 32-33, Srila Prabhupada describes the position of such eternally liberated souls and compares them with the conditioned living entities trapped in the material world. The constant companions of the Lord, such as Uddhava, are all liberated souls, and they descended along with Lord Krishna to this material world to fulfill the mission of the Lord. Right? So if they're well, means the mission's going on. Right? The Pandavas are also liberated souls who descended along with Lord Krishna to serve him in his transcendental pastimes on this earth. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:8, the Lord and his eternal associates, who are also liberated souls like the Lord, come down to this earth at certain intervals. Footnote 4. In Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheta 64, Srila Jiva Goswami remarks on this connection. Before speaking to Brahma, the four essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna revealed himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the following verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.15. Lord Brahma saw in the Vaikuntha planets Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of the entire devotee community, the Lord of the Yadu dynasty, the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, the Lord of all sacrifices, and the Lord of the universe, and who is served by the foremost servitors like Nanda, Sunanda, Prabala, and Arhana, his immediate associates in Dwarka. In this verse, the words Akila, Satvatam Patim mean the Lord of all the heroes of the Yadu dynasty. Satvatas mean Lord of Yadus. Sridhar Swami confirms this in his Tika. The Lord remembers them all, but his associates, although liberated souls, forget due to their being Tatastha Shakti, or marginal potency of the Lord. That is the difference between the Vishnu Tattva and the Jiva Tattva. So here, even though they're eternal associates, so they're working under the internal potency, they still maintain their position as Jivas is still there. The Jiva Tattvas are infinitesimal potential particles of the Lord, and therefore they require the protection of the Lord at all times. And to the eternal servitors of the Lord is pleased to give all protection at all times. The liberated souls never, therefore, think themselves as free as the Lord, as powerful as the Lord, but they always seek the protection of the Lord in all circumstances, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. This dependence of the liberated soul is constitutional, for the liberated souls are like sparks of a fire that are able to exhibit the glow of fire along with the fire, and not independently. So the fire is there when you have sparks. It adds to the fire. Right? It's part of the fire scene. But when they're on their own, then... Independently, the glow of the sparks is distinguished, although the quality of fire or the glowing is there. Thus, those who give up the protection of the Lord and become so-called lords themselves, out of spiritual ignorance, come back again to this material world, even after prolonged tapasya of the severest type. That is the verdict of all Vedic literature. And so, even they become liberated, they still come back. They just can't. Unless you connect with the Lord, there is no real liberation. Is Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows, the senses, and the brahmanas, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, enjoying the pious assembly at Dwarka Puri, surrounded by his friends. 34. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, since it is not proper to ask whether the Lord is happy, Maharaj Yudhishthir, is he happy in the assembly hall in Dwarka? Right? Because that's, otherwise it's one of the referred to contradictions, right? The Brahmins and the associates of the Lord are giving benediction. May you be happy. But the point is he is the source of happiness. He's the reservoir of happiness. So the Brahmins are giving the Lord benediction that may you be happy. May you be successful. May you be satisfied. May all things be auspicious for you. This is just relationship. This is rasa. Because actually it's inappropriate. But the point is in relationship, then it's fine. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of that prime minister, you know, and then his grandson is riding around on his back telling him where to go. It's not proper that this little 3-year-old kid is telling the prime minister of the country to ride him around the room. Right? But in relationship, it works. Right? Yes. Maharaj Yudhishthir asks, is he happy in the assembly hall in Dwarka? Srila Prabhupada explains, since the Lord is all perfect in himself, there could not be any question of his welfare. And Maharaj Yudhishthir refrained from asking this question. He simply inquired about his residential place, Dwarka Puri, where pious men assemble. Right, so that means that interaction is that visible that we can therefore comment on. Because we know in the Aprakat Leela it's always going on. But in this case, he's talking about the Prakat. Is it there? Can you see it? Right. In his purport to verse 34, Srila Prabhupada equates real piety with following the Brahminical culture for the satisfaction of the Lord. Here in this particular verse, the Lord is described as Bhagavan, Govinda, Brahmanya, and Bhaktivatsala. He is Bhagavan Swayam, or the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, full with all opulences, all power, all knowledge, all beauty, all fame, and all renunciation. No one is equal to or greater than him. He is Govinda because he is the pleasure of the cows and the senses. Those who have purified their senses by the devotional service of the Lord can render unto him real service, and thereby derive transcendental pleasure out of such purified senses, right? So real service, because real service means it's without karma and jnana, right? It's favorable to the Lord. It's pleasing to the Lord. So when we're dealing with karma and jnana, it's not a real devotional service. It's real mixed with not, so you don't call it real. You know what I'm saying? If you have, a fruit drink, does that make sense? So that means fruit juice with water. Right? Now, the fruit juice that's in there is real. But you don't call the overall real. Does that make sense? So mixed devotional service, though, it's real devotional service mixed with material, because there's no such thing as not real devotional service. You can have mundane, you can have devotional service. The problem is when they're mixed. So when it's mixed, means there must be karma and jnana. So only if someone has purified senses, then they can render real meaning, pure devotion. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
In Kali Yuga, we have drinks where it says natural lemon flavor, and then down below it says contains no fruit. I find that very amusing.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. Either in proud, you know, contains no truth. It's like, yes. Or why would we put that?
Just going back a point when you spoke about devotees always seek the protection of the Lord, but at the same time you spoke about the Prime Minister and the boy telling the Prime Minister because he had a relationship. So I wonder if you could just, so how would you, you know, if you know your relationship, you can speak to somebody maybe who's seen you like that? Is that what it's dependent on?
Means here is now, where is the child getting his happiness from? In that example.
From that relationship with the Prime Minister.
Right.
Yeah?
So that's dependence.
Okay.
But it's not that within the relationship that you don't have varieties of taste.
Yeah.
Right? This idea of dependence means, you know, grumbling on the ground like a, you know, some jello or something.
You'd have to know your relationship to be able to speak to them, right?
Yes. That's why, otherwise, if not, you start formally.
Yes.
That's the difficulty in the modern age, is all these, means the restrictions in rasa that the Vedic culture gives, as we mentioned when we opened, the modern culture sees them restrictions in environment. They're not restrictions in an environment. They're the environmental elements are connected to the actual taste of rasa, the dynamic exchange. So therefore there are elements put in place to make sure rasa is proper. Like if the children don't speak properly with the parents, that parental rasa is not tasted. You know what I'm saying? You get secondary rasa. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like you have the parent who, you know, they don't like you to call them by, you know, call them dad. You know, they call them George, you know, like that. But the, where's the parental rasa? You know what I'm saying? And it's not even really friendship rasa. You know, it means, you know, George. You know, who wants to hang out with George? You know, look at his friends. You know, like, you know, so, you know, so the whole point is it's, they don't understand or this element of the, you know, breaking down the formalities between men and women. Then the point is women will still act as women. So the element is that woman, being the feminine nature, is going to function from the position of dependence. That's just how it functions. And that dependence then is based on a certain level of closeness or intimacy, right? There's not really much formality in dealing with women. You know what I'm saying? The natural thing is it's more informal, more close, more, so it increases the intensity of rasa. So in doing that, there's a sense of possession. You know what I'm saying? So the sense of possession works great in conjugal, in parental, in these kind of elements. But it doesn't work as the boss, or it doesn't work as these other elements. It just doesn't function. So therefore it's socially dysfunctional. Rasa-wise it's dysfunctional. But because the contemporary mindset doesn't have any idea what rasa is, therefore, they figure, if I have the environment, everything's perfect. So if I have that, the woman has the control, therefore everything's perfect. Not that everybody hates her. You know what I'm saying? Who likes the woman boss? Who wants to work under the woman boss? Do women want to work under a woman boss? No. So the point is this, and then this whole thing, no, make it all equal. Where's the equal? They like the man boss. No one likes the woman boss. So where's the equality? It'll never be equal. Because it's meant to be applied in a certain environment. You know what I'm saying? A certain environment. So that's the whole thing. It's as soon as you break these down, rasa is what's actually lost. So the point is yes, you can play with the situation, you can control the situation. The idea is I will get enjoyment, but enjoyment comes through rasa, and it's not a tasted. So in the modern society, there is no happiness. People talk about it, but where's the happiness? You know what I'm saying? It's not really there. Yes.
Can the woman boss run the company like she would run a home?
She can, but then she has to have that character. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not just, the thing of the nature of the woman. There's also the character. So if she would deal with everybody like that, and only keep in her company people who can respond and respect that, then you could have a very nice thing, but it's going to be based on the principle of ownership. Mm. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the relationships with the people, and that makes her feel secure, and they produce the facilities that makes her feel secure. Therefore, she likes the company and the people in it. It's 100% pure feminine perspective. There is no other perspective. This idea is, seeing that there is, it doesn't exist. It's like saying dogs are going to fly and meow, like that, and eat fruit for lunch, uncooked, right? Like that. It's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't happen. So the thing is, you can do it if you know exactly what you're dealing with. But it's not, because the man will run the business. It's mechanics. You deal with this, you deal with all the people, it produces profit. For the woman, it's not producing profit, it's producing security. Man, having produced profit, can use that for security. But it's not, it's producing security. So you're talking about different entities, and then Krishna has created this whole system of which all these entities can interact and taste rasa. You understand? So if you understand that, then all these different things make sense, right? It's just like out in public, how much can the women interact closely, right? Because of the shyness and other things, which are natural qualities, they can't, right? But we see when Krishna comes to Dwarka, where are the society girls?
Up in front.
Right up in front. And no one has a problem with it. Because that element of shyness, they don't manifest there. But because they don't have shyness, therefore they can do what they do. You understand? So they're right there in front. But it adds the environment, because you've added that feminine element into the social thing. So it's very nice. You know what I'm saying? Like that. But it's not intimate. It has a closeness, but it's not intimate. But now Krishna, when he's leaving Dwarka, then where does he meet Kunti and Draupadi and everyone? In their apartments. Yudhishthira you see in the court. You see in just in the palace before going out. You deal with him when you go out. You meet the people when you're out. It's all very more formal. It may have a closeness, but it won't have the intimacy of that. So it's not that the women come out. He goes to where the women are. Now, how much, well, that means that element of control is so much more. You know, it's like we're saying the grandson's controlling the prime minister. So here's the great, king of Dwarka. Here's the person. He comes to Draupadi's apartment to say goodbye. That's so much more powerful. So these elements, you break them down, and then everybody can say hi out there. Probably, great, yeah, but how much can you do? Therefore, nowadays, what is it? If you want to, in public, be kind of more close and all that, with the lady and that, but it's in public, how do you deal? That's all you can do.
So from the...
That's where it works. Because that's being close. Hi.
A lot of people got that look from Srila Prabhupada, like a loving look or something.
Yeah, but that's all you can, that's what it is. But this idea you're going to sit there and interact and jive and shock and all that, so it's not going to happen. You want to do that, that's done somewhere else, but then we joke with them. You know what I'm saying? So the more you add in the variety, the more it becomes sophisticated. And that's the thing, the modern society is all about sophistication. Great. But then in sophistication, you have all that complication. You need more rules to hold it together. Like Prabhupada was pleasantly joking with Janaki. in San Francisco and he was going to leave, and then he's sitting there, and then they ask him, he's sitting down and they're all standing behind. So, oh, Prabhupada, do you have your ticket and everything? And he looks and all that, and he gets out his ticket, and she steals it. Right? So it's just a trick to get him to pull the ticket out so she could steal it. But everybody there was new. There was only one mood. It hadn't developed. So you could do stuff like that. You don't hear of any lady doing that again later, let's say in Los Angeles or New York, it was more developed. This is San Francisco. It's just started the yatra. People have just kind of figured out which way is up. You know? Like that. You know, the Krishna is that way. Like that, you know. Does that make sense? Because otherwise they were just, you know, buckets go that way. But now it's okay, people. Yeah, so... You understand? So you could do it, but as it goes, then you can't have that anymore. And even later when he comes to San Francisco, he's dealing, it's only when he's staying at the house where he's staying. Then you had, you know, the grihasthas were the servants and their wives, and they would be cooking and doing this. Then there'd be some mild interaction. You understand?
I thought that was really sad of Mukunda Maharaj's book. He said that he had Srila Prabhupada for that first 3 years very intensely, and then the relationship was very distant.
No, it's never distant. See, the thing is, it's like, that means, okay, he's talking 3 years. Okay, now, if you want to look at it from that side, you're looking at it from more means it's going to be more of a anxiety when it's not there. Right? You know, because there's always the thing of, oh, he's there all the time. Why can't we get his association? You know? And on that level, yes, you could look at it like that. But Prabhupada points out, and the Acharyas point out, but that place where he always is, then leaving them, that's going to create more of an anxiety. You know, therefore Kunti was thinking, she has to let him go because he always stays in Dwarka, so how bad they'll be feeling, but she doesn't want to let him go because otherwise how bad they'll be feeling. You know, like that. So 3 years. What about Vrindavan? You know, he's there 11 years, 8 months. So feel a little bit more time. And then, did they see him again? Huh? 125 years later, yeah. You understand? So this is the mood of separation. So it's not that it's just a different flavor. But at the same time, it's not that it's not real, that feeling of separation. So someone like him, those devotees in the 60s, their closeness with Prabhupada is such that it's very different from those in the 70s, especially I think after 73. It was very formal from 73. And before that, a little bit less. But up to, especially, I think, up to like 69, it was quite, in general, more close. So all those devotees, they have a particular sense. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay, so...
Is the formality... I was trying to follow it. Is the formality... It set up a more proper situation, or it was just necessary because things got bigger?
I would say you'd have both elements, because you can have more, you can have greater variety, but then it requires greater training. So the maximum amount of rules is necessary to keep the neophytes functioning in a conducive environment. When you get up to the madhyamas, then less is required to hold it together because of a natural appreciation. When you get to ultimate level, then very minimal. Like we can see is with the, when Krishna would be, his sons, because in one house there's 10 sons. And so only a certain amount can fit on his lap at once. I would say, think maximum 4. But most likely, you know, there'd only be 1 to 3 at any one time. And so then the others who are not on his lap, they would appreciate what great piety they have to be there. So this ability to appreciate, then that requires training, that requires purity. If that's there, then you can have all kinds of very unique and interesting dynamic interactions, and others will appreciate it. But as soon as you get to a point where someone doesn't appreciate, why him, not me, then immediately you have to formalize to keep everything, to keep everybody, you know, without offending each other and all that. So you would see, depending upon the circle, it would be more open or more closed. So it's just like Prabhupada's giving the Bhagavatam class would be very formal. When he goes upstairs and he's sitting with, you know, the senior man and some other, you know, kind of a little bit more senior devotees and a few here and there, it's a little bit more intimate. When they go and it's just the senior men, then it's more intimate. When it's just him and the servants, it's even... So it's... You require both, because the mission creates the formality in which the maximum variety of people can take part. That's the advantage of the institution. Otherwise, then, one will associate with like-minded persons by condition. And so that will naturally be a smaller group. But then, to be dynamic, then you have to have all those smaller groups working cooperatively together to expand the mission. There, then you need that institutional element. So it's kind of both are there, but the more trained, the better it runs, and the more trained, the more wide variety. You know, like we can appreciate Dworkin, you have Uddhava. And no one else is like competing with him like that. And so it's just, it's you know, it works. But, you know,
is that
works. In his purport to verse 34, Srila Prabhupada equates real piety with following the Brahminical culture for the satisfaction of the Lord. Here in this particular verse, the Lord is described as Bhagavan, Govinda, Brahmanya, and Bhaktivatsala. He is Bhagavan Swayam, or the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, full with all opulences, all power, all knowledge, all beauty, all fame, and all renunciation. No one is equal to or greater than him. He is Govinda because he is the pleasure of the cows and the senses. Those who have purified their senses by the devotional service to the Lord can render unto him real service and thereby derive transcendental pleasure out of such purified senses. Only the impure conditioned living being cannot derive any pleasure from the senses. But being illusioned by false pleasures of the senses, he becomes servant of the senses. And so only the devotees can actually enjoy the senses. The point is you're dealing with energy, and the rule of energy means you want it, you don't get it. You don't want it, you get it. That's all. It's just the way it works. Right? That's the nature. Right? Because it's contradictory. Not contradictory.
Elusive?
No. It means elusive, shy, and means that whatever you say, the opposite will be said.
Contradictory.
Not contradictory.
Contrary.
That's what, contrary. Right? That's just the way it works. So here is the devotees use everything for the Lord. Therefore, then it's there.
Yes.
Right? But the materialists, they're trying to, so there's no question. It's just like the husband comes home, he's had a really bad day, you know, and he really feels, you know, he requires some, you know, tender, loving care, right? That. From the moment he walks in the door, the wife will be neutral. You know? Just knows. And the more he endeavors, the less, more she pulls away and creates or changes the topic or... You know, and so it's just you can't catch. It's just the way it works. It's just how energy functions. So for the materialist, he thinks, I will control. But you can't. Because the thing is you have to be able to give shelter to. Then it's there. So Krishna can give shelter. So therefore the energy is with him. So you're connected with him, then the senses are enjoyed, but they're not enjoyed separately. The point is also the feminine nature is anything that is done, it's shared. Right? So that enjoyment is shared. Then it works. If one's trying to enjoy it separately, then that means where's the relationship? So therefore, if it's separate, there's no relationship, that means there's no rasa. So there's no taste. But we have this idea, I will be Atmarama and I will taste rasa. You can't have them both. It's one position or the other. Right? Rasa means surrender, Atmarama means independent. Does that make sense? Like that. But here, as we see, is that for the pastime of the Lord, then real piety is following the Brahminical culture for the satisfaction of the Lord. Therefore, there's the element of Atmarama, but it's done in that mood of surrender within the culture. Is that? Therefore, we need his protection for our own interest. The Lord is a protector of cows and the Brahminical culture. A society devoid of cow protection and Brahminical culture is not under the direct protection of the Lord. Just as the prisoners in the jail are not under the protection of the king, but under the protection of a severe agent of the king. And so here, Prabhupada's expanded that. So we'll say Brahmins and cows. You know that. No, it's Brahmins and Brahminical culture. So everybody fits into this protection of the Lord, you know, and the senses being dealt with in connection with Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture meaning that its point is to connect oneself with Brahman, to the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole approach. If we approach the Vedic culture as the Brahminical culture, in other words, how to know the Lord, then it becomes useful. Because we see is that Brahmins that are always respected, even if they're materialistic. Right? We see in the ninth canto, Durvasa Muni. He's quite, on one level, materialistic. Now, he's a great yogi. There's no one, hardly anyone, greater yogi than him. He lives on Brahmaloka. Like that. You know, he's very austere, very powerful. But the difficulty is he's just not a devotee. So he has all the... And he's respected for that. The Lord even calls him. He's offended the Vaishnavas, but he's calling him, oh, Brahmana. Right? In other words, that aspect is there, but that's the point where then you know, we diverge. Is that only being Brahminical, not to please the Lord, is a pious waste of time. Like that. Right? And since we're not pious... It's just a total waste of time. Right?
Just a waste of time. Yeah,
it's just a waste of time. So, our entrance to Brahminical culture is through devotional service. So that then becomes very nice. We have to catch that. So here, Prabhupada's brought the banned Brahminical culture means there's no alternative. This idea, oh, we don't care for the Vedic culture, like that. Then what's left? You know. And generally, we don't care about cows either. So it's not a whole lot left. Okay. So one's under the Lord if one follows this. But this means daiva varnasham. Then that's under the protection of the Lord. So if one is doing the devotional service, though one's not very good at the culture itself, one's under the protection of the Lord. Right? And then as one goes, one's purified, one can add in the sophistication of the culture. But to have the culture without the devotional, or to in foolishness reject the culture, then these are very weak positions. Like that. And of the two, the smart is actually in a better position. The smart is in a better position than someone who rejects the Vedic culture, culturally. Like that. Without cow protection and cultivation of the Brahminical qualities in human society, at least for a section of the members of society, no human civilization can prosper at any length. Right? It means how long has any of these gone on for? How long are they there? Right? It's even the culture that was there before is not there now. Does that make sense? You look at anything that lasts, if you're looking at some culture, then certain means your Vedic things, your Hindu elements, because of that idea of the Vedic culture, some elements are still left. Right? You can still see, like, say, in certain elements in the Judaic or in the East Orthodox or in Buddhistic or something, is there's that some element of trying to cultivate the idea that human life is meant for elevation. Then you have a culture that's lasting longer. When you go into something that doesn't worry about form of culture, it changes constantly. You know what I'm saying? Even the words that you used, you know, like last year, this year, people look at you like, what planet's this guy from? You know?
I got told the English language is turning into Kitri.
Turning into means?
Well, there's a lot of additives, and everywhere you go in different countries, English is different.
But it's always been different.
It's always been
Kitchery. So, yeah, no, it's always Kitchery, it's just that there's getting more variety of Kitchery of Kitchery. Because otherwise, Well, before you didn't notice it because people kind of stayed in their own place. You went and visited and you appreciated the uniqueness of the thing, but then you go back to your place. But now with the internet, then you start to notice it a bit more. But otherwise, it's always been. So. Okay, at any length, it means, in other words, it's not sustainable, right? It's only if it is, there's a section of, at least a section, it means better the whole thing, like we see inside, like Dwarka or Ayodhya, then the whole, everybody is. But if not, if a section is, then that giving guidance, then everybody else will get the benefit. Then that culture can prosper. By Brahminical culture, the development of the dormant qualities of goodness, namely truthfulness, equanimity, sense control, forbearance, simplicity, general knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and firm faith in the Vedic wisdom, one can become a Brahmana and thus see the Lord as He is. Right? So these are all things that every society generally considers good. Right? Truthfulness, equanimity, sense control, forbearance, simplicity, general knowledge. Right? Because here general knowledge means things like Ayurveda, astrology, these kind of things. Right? Not that I just learned yesterday that on a board that is it TVC or TCV or something? It's the like the very fast train in France.
TGV.
TGV is faster than a Formula One racer. Good to know, no? Yeah. So say if you ever have that opportunity, do I take the train or do I take the Formula One? You take the train. It's faster.
Like sometimes it is quicker than the plane, which is 500 kilometers to go to the.
Oh yeah, you don't have to go through all the security. You just get in and get out. Yeah. See, now we've learned another bit. It's quicker than we went.
This is West Bengal.
Yeah, we're still waiting. They take a while. Yeah. And the Orient Express was the first train to connect Europe and Asia.
Yes.
Somehow or another, the TGV is not on the list.
No.
Okay. So general knowledge, transcendental knowledge, right? So truthfulness, equanimity, sense control, forbearance, simplicity, right? So here is that forbearance, sense control, these things come up. That Lord Chaitanya's his verse, the third verse of Shikshastakam. You follow that, these others will come, right? And when dealing with the knowledge, like here Prabhupada's talking about the Brahminical culture, this is general knowledge. We're taking this to something else. No, this is general knowledge.
Yes.
Like people saying, oh, but you have to know general. This is general knowledge. You know this. The other general knowledge makes sense. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of facts. But here's practical facts. You can apply them. Okay. And one can become a Brahmin and thus see the Lord as He is. So His qualities and knowledge. And after surpassing the Brahminical perfection, one has to become a devotee of the Lord. So there's His loving affection in the form of proprietor, master, friend, son, and lover can be transcendentally achieved. Now here, you have the element, you can either look at it from the slow path or the quick path. Now, on the slow path, we go up through this, develop, and then birth after birth till you get to the brahminical platform and this, and then hopefully when you hit the top of the cycle of samsara, you meet a devotee before you head down to the bottom again, you know? But here is that when we're talking in this case about being a devotee, we're talking about being the pure devotee. So as a neophyte, because generally speaking, traditionally neophytes are the ones that have the problem with pure devotional service. So we can cultivate the brahminical, but we can only cultivate it because of devotional service. Right? So they go back and forth. Because you're practicing devotional service, therefore brahminical culture. Because brahminical culture, then you can engage that real piety in the Lord's service. Right? That pleases the Lord, then the devotional service cultivates. So that's then also what Yudhishthira was talking about Lord Balaram, by his mercy. Right? Then these things go nicely. Does that make sense? So we're doing this also, like we join, and then we take up devotional service, and get initiated, then you get second initiated, so technically one's supposed to be functioning on the brahminical platform. Not necessarily occupation, but ashram. The culture is the ashram. Right? And then if those elements are your occupation also, then that's brahminical by occupation. But brahminical by ashram, that's all devotees can do that. That's what's open to everybody. Right? Does that make sense? Sitting and doing artik all day, not necessarily everybody can do, but everybody can develop these cultures of truthfulness, equanimity, sense control, forbearance, simplicity, general knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and firm faith in the Vedic wisdom. That anybody can do. Right? And so by cultivating that, you engage that in the Lord's service. So they go together. So that's why then the Bhagavat culture, the Pancharatra culture, and then the support of the Vedic culture, they all move together. But the driving is the Bhagavat. Right? We don't have the piety to function from the others. Right? The other ages, yes, but in this age, no. It's like that. Yes.
Cultivating means we endeavor in this direction.
But it's like, as Krishna mentions, it's the same thing as prescribed duties, because these are also part of our prescribed duties. Right? Because generally when we take prescribed duties, we take it, let's say, occupationally, or sometimes on the ashram side is, okay, a brahmacharya's duties, or a grihastha's duties, sannyasi's duties. But we don't necessarily look at it as much as in the sadhana or in the culture or the character in which one performs ashram dharma. Does that make sense? So in other words, in the same capacity as you perform your prescribed duties, these things automatically come. Right? To do your duties, you automatically have to have knowledge, you have to be sense controlled, you have to have forbearance, right? You have those, they come, so you don't have to separately endeavor. This idea that we have to separately endeavor and devotees should do this and sit around in a circle and hold hands and get out the Ouija board, you know, all this kind of jazz, then it's not important. Right? The point is it comes up. Means if it's discussed so you know it's there, fine, but where you're going to cultivate it is in practical application, not sitting in a circle. Sitting in a circle may make you aware it exists, but it won't cultivate it. Cultivation has to be practical application through your prescribed duties. Then you apply all these things. So if that's there, that combination is what makes it. So it's very simple, but at the same time, it's very sophisticated. Does that make sense? So depending upon the sophistication of the individual, then it expands. Like let's say the gopis, Prabhupada points out on the political platform, you know, or economic platform, or on the platform, you could say, of knowledge, the gopis are very simple. They're just simple cowherd girls. But when it comes to the sophistication of masculine-feminine interaction on the conjugal platform, no one is more sophisticated than them, not even the queens of Dwarka. There's no one more sophisticated than them. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is able to accommodate all this. So it can accommodate that side of that, just the person, that character, and the internal form. At the same time, as in Vaikuntha, that element of majesty is also there. So in the material world, we don't have that intimacy with the Lord. We start with that external, that majesty, and get that organized. But the whole point of that is to develop the internal. So they go both. They both go together. Because you know, it's not like we have to go and take our pot of water down to the Ganga and fill it up nicely and, you know, put a cloth on top. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Because that's the whole point. What about the cloth on top? Like, I just saw a painting the other day. Generally, you don't see this. Gopis were carrying pots of water, but there was a cloth on the top of the pot. That's because if you don't put the cloth, dirty things can go inside. We don't think about that. You know, it's just, you know, it's a trouble. You cover it, then you have to, you have to uncover it. So it's so much easier. It's just, you know, there.
Practical.
Yeah, that's why the tap's down instead of up. You notice the taps that are pointing up are always running.
Yeah.
Right? If they're down, then you can turn them off. But the ones that are up are always running, otherwise you can't stay pure. You know, those old Roman ones, and they're always running. Okay. The stage of a devotee which attracts the transcendental affection of the Lord does not develop unless one has developed the qualities of a Brahmana as above mentioned. So this is a purport, and this is first canto. Right? So the point is this shouldn't just be passed by. Unless one has developed the qualities of Brahmana as above mentioned, the qualities mentioned are simply qualities and knowledge and connection with the Lord. So this idea that we don't have to worry about these things, right? But at the same time, we're going to endeavor for these without connection with devotional service. We'll dovetail it, but the point is what culture do you cultivate? Does that make sense? You know, because otherwise, you go out and you have all kinds of nice people. You can say, yes. Let us say we go to some program. It's a, you know, I say, I don't know what's the going rate these days, but, you know, $1,200 a seat, you know, the guys in the couches, okay, they're paying $2,500, $5,000. And they're all there. They may take, you know, the meal together. They meet the big guy who's running the seminar. They're discussing about these qualities and all that. Now, there's a good chance that the people that are there, that went there to learn some good qualities, have qualities way better than the common person has. Right? But they're trying to specifically refine in a particular area that's seen as a weakness. Does that make sense? So one, using those systems may not be very effective because the people who actually use them and are effective are already pious. So they're cultivating their piety. Like the man with money can learn how to make more money. The guy with no money doesn't make money. Does that make sense? You know, so the point is so to use that, and they're developing these qualities and they're not necessarily devotees. Right? Not that they couldn't become, but they're not just because they have the qualities. So the point is you have to have these qualities of the Brahminical culture. But they have to be cultivated in relationship to devotional service. But a separately endeavor for them outside of devotional service is not effective. And the people who talk about doing it generally are the ones that don't have the qualification to do it.
Or else they would be doing it.
Yeah, otherwise they'd be doing it. You know, that's the whole point. You know. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, the stage of a devotee which attracts the transcendental affection of the Lord. Now, why is this? So the transcendental affection of the Lord. The most important things we can see as it's been being brought out in these chapters is that
It attracts the Lord. It attracts the Lord because of the devotion. But the point is the Lord being Shuddha Sattva. Right? Then that means Shuddha Sattva. Piety means activities in goodness. Right? So Shuddha Sattva means pious activities engaged in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? That's why they're recommended, because the Lord, His interaction is always in the mode of pure goodness. So that's why the cultivation of goodness is important. So goodness along with devotional service, as you practice, it becomes combined as Shuddha Sattva. Right? Does that make sense? So this whole thing of, you know, pro-Vedic, this, that, that's wrong. Because it's not about, it's not the Vedic will generate devotional service. It's not about, oh, we just are devotees, we don't care. Because then how will you express that? Where's the mode of goodness? So what mode will you work on? Okay, if I don't take this option of goodness that the Vedic does, and I'm just being quote-unquote practical, but what? Who is practical in the vocation? Because Brahmins are theoretical, Shudras are too emotional. So who's left that's practical? Vaishyas and Kshatriyas. Okay, now what's there? What is the common ground between the Vaishya and Kshatriya? What's the mode?
Passion.
Okay, but Kshatriyas, according to Shastra, so they wouldn't say, we don't care, it's that you have to prove to me that this is the right way to do it. And if you do, they'll take it. The Vaishyas, no, it's practical, that's the way I want to do it, I don't want any complications, because practical means uncomplicated. Here's the profit, I did this, I got the profit. So even if you show the Shastra, unless you can show you get more profit, the Vaishya won't do it. But the Kshatriya will. But passion is the point. So in other words, when we say practical, that means we leave ourselves with passion. So we have to see, at least, if we're doing that, fine. But see that it's based on Shastra. That's progressive. That's why we see that generally the stories about Brahmins and Kshatriyas. Because there's a mode of goodness there. So the Brahminical culture is prominent. That's what's useful to us. It means we see everybody's becoming a devotee. But the point is what we can take lesson from is this element of that cultivation of the mode of goodness that comes from practicing devotional service. Because mode of goodness means doing the duty you're supposed to do. Right? According to your nature. Not the one you whimsically feel like doing. Right. Okay. The Lord is inclined to a Brahmin of quality and not of false prestige. Right. So it means it's because it's devotee. Those who are less than a Brahmin by qualification cannot establish any relation with the Lord, just as fire cannot be kindled from the raw earth unless there is wood. Right? Earth has become wood, then you can get fire. But earth is earth, you won't make fire. Although there's a relation between wood and the earth. Right? So you can say, no, but these qualities here, it's a nice, I got this book on the shelf, we know we should do it, it's a Yukta Vairagya, great. But it has the potential, but unless you bring it into the culture of devotional service, how are you going to please the Lord? You know what I'm saying? Like that, yeah. The Lord says, only where pious men assemble and takes pleasure in their glorifying the Supreme Truth. Maharaj Yudhishthira was anxious to know about the pious men and their pious acts in the city of Dwarka. So it's fine. It's not that it's one or the other. It's that it has to be this balance where the Vedic culture is followed in a way that works in devotional service applied to the situation. In other words, you see what's talked about here is knowledge and qualities. So the rule is based on knowledge and qualities. Apply that. The detail, you may have ideal, you may not. Does that make sense?
So Vedic is in support of devotion.
Yes, Vedic is in support of devotion. So that means here is that one where you won't attract Krishna is if you're false prestige. That means you think it stands on its own. So in other words, having culture without devotional service is false prestige. Having engagement of the senses without devotional service, that's sense gratification. Using the intellect without devotional service, that's called mental speculation. You understand? So in other words, the body, the mind, the words, these are supposed to be engaged in the Lord's service. Then it's devotional service. Right? Okay. Yudhishthira Maharaj continued. The original personality of Godhead, the enjoyer, and Balaram, the primeval Lord Ananta, are staying in the ocean of the Yadu dynasty for the welfare, protection, and general progress of the entire universe. And the members of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of the Lord, are enjoying life like the residents of the spiritual sky. Simply by administering comforts at the lotus feet of the Lord, which is the most important of all services, the queens at Dwarka, headed by Satyabhama, induce the Lord to conquer the demigods. Thus the queens enjoy things which are prerogatives of the wives of the controller of the thunderbolts. Right. So here he's pointing out it's simply which are the most important of all services. Because the bottom line is we're looking at the social element. The man, the prestige, he's the controller of the world and everything. But he has to feel that when he walks into the house is that dynamic relationship between him and his wife. You understand? So that's actually the most important service. You know, nowadays it's taken as, oh, that's some lesser service. Right? In other words, it's like this. Getting facilities or enjoying facilities. Which of the two is higher?
Enjoying
the facilities. But nowadays the popular thing is, no, the women should be creating the facilities, not enjoying them anymore. And that's called intelligence. You understand? That's the mode of ignorance. That's how the modes are so tricky. You know, and people before, it used to be, you'd sit down. Now, when you think about, let's say, you're going to, let's say, someplace in Central America, South America, some out-of-the-way parts in Europe, out in the village, and there's some people sitting there, you know, like, let's say you're walking down a village road in you know, out in the country in Italy. And you're walking by some house and, you know, there's people are sitting there on the open veranda. There's a table. There's food. There's talking. You're walking by. What's going to happen? They will call you. Okay? Now, by the modern point of view, that's a waste of time because you could be getting somewhere, getting something done. But now for these people, just getting something done, what's the use if you don't sit down and enjoy with friends? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, the person does have his apartment on the 87th floor, on the Upper East Side. Does he ever eat anything in his house other than microwaved and alone? And standing up in the kitchen while he's walking around talking on his phone. And that's a good day. He actually got to eat something. You understand? So where's the enjoyment? When they walk into the flat, fabulous, huge place, windows out, you know, they bought the, actually in New York you don't, but in L.A., you buy the airspace so that you're not going to lose your view. But who's in the house? There's no party, there's no one there. Where's the enjoyment? So that's the thing, the modern society is, it's such that, who enjoys it? That's the thing, so the Vedic, it's about enjoying. So here, the queens, they're rendering the most important service. Right? And you can see by that, they're controlling the Lord, that they're getting facility that even Indra, his wives, you know, it means they have a parijata flower. It's there in heaven. Right? It didn't say it was in Indra's, like, inner palace and that. It's there in heaven. But, you know, in Dwarka, where is it? It's in Satyabhama's courtyard. It's right there. But we heard something the other day about that parijata. It was also placed in another, so someone else could get the benefit.
Yeah, so the breeze went
through Rukmini. Yeah. But you don't mention that one. We're not going to say anything about that one, right? Yeah. Okay. In other words, since the Lord is the proprietor of everything within His creation, it's not very astonishing for the queens of Dwarka to have any rare thing from any part of the universe. Okay. The same applies to the Yadavas, who also enjoyed the special prerogatives of the demigods by dint of their pure devotion. Quote, the great heroes of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of Lord Sri Krishna, always remain fearless in every respect. And therefore their feet trample over the Sudharma assembly house, which the best demigods deserved, but which was taken away from them. Right, so you see, as it goes in here, so they remain fearless. That's when you can enjoy. When can you sit back? You're fearless, like we were saying. Those, you know, the people in that Italian village, are they fearful? Right, you know, like that. They're not worried that there's some, you know, how you say, Turks riding in on their horses and that, you know, like that. You know, they're not sitting there and, you know. How you say, after the eating, drinking their coffee and go, wow, the Turks are coming through again and that. So, you know, hey, did you lock up the cellar and all that? And, yeah, don't worry, you know, I've got that. You want another coffee? And he says, yeah, it looks like it'll take them another few minutes to get here. No, it's not like that, you know what I'm saying? It's because they're secure, they're enjoying. So that means in the modern society, no one's secure despite having all the things that is said that will make you secure. Who's secure? You know, like it's just. I mean, it's an old new phenomena that you have the guys, the CEO, or he's in some big position, you know, VP or something in a big corporation, and you know he's been there for the last 30 years and all that, and it's time to retire. When he retires, he gets a really good chunk of something. 6 months before he retires, they fire him. Why? Because then they don't have to pay him the money. So where's the security? It's just not there. You know, I can say all this, oh, I got this, I got that, you know, you have the bank balance and all that. But where is it? You know, so that's the whole. So here, they're fearless because they're connected to the Lord. And because of that, then they get all the, like here, they have the trample. Means it's not even that they're, you know, that was the thing with Draupadi. After Draupadi was taken by Arjuna, then it's kind of like, well, who are they? It means, okay, they came forward as Brahmins, they're okay, cool as Brahmins, but you know, but the Brahmins, you know, in the Swayamvar generally don't take part, but these guys did. And then not only did they take part, but you know, the ensuing war afterwards, they dealt very nicely, two of them against everybody else. And you know, okay, so who are they? So when they brought them back the next day, invited them back for lunch, then they put all the different things, and they had thrones, fancy thrones. You know, as a place to sit. And so the Pandavas went and sat on them very comfortably. As if, yeah, of course. You know? Because you give a huge seat and all this and all the opulence. You take a normal person and sit there. They don't sit there comfortably. They kind of sit on the edge, a little on the side, trying to find some shelter in this thing. They just sat there comfortably. So it's that. That's fearless. You know, like that. So they're able to deal with it in the very, you know, appropriate. You know, it didn't say that like they're, you know, knocking things over or breaking things. It just means that, you know, they're moving about without any fear. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. We skipped over the proof part. We skipped over a purple. Oh, because I was thinking the previous page looks exactly the same. If you look at it, it's almost exactly the same. So I thought I was in the previous page when we were at the bottom. Oh, okay. Yeah, good point. Okay. Okay, we're not getting away from the wives of Dwarka so easily, right? You know? Okay. Okay, so, and here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaur Prema.